is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, the standoff in East Asia, the South China Sea, the Nine Dash Line, the challenge at the Second Thomas Shoals, the Russian-Chinese exercises in the Sea of Japan, all of this leads to messaging. There is other messaging to discuss, however, and Gordon and I welcome our good friend and colleague, Jim Holmes, the first holder of the Wiley Chair of Maritime Strategy at the Naval War College. He blogs at the Naval Diplomat. Jim, you've written of messaging. It's called the B-21. What is it, and what is the message? Good evening to you.
Hey, Gordon. Hey, and hi, John. Of course, it's always a pleasure. The B-21 is the Air Force's it's the latest stealth bomber effort, basically an effort to replace aging bombers that are aging out of the service. And the Air Force had rolled this bomber out with great acclaim late last year. And it was a message too. It was a message to many audiences, really, to the people at home that the United States is, the Air Force is in good shape, but also to our adversaries and our friends and allies overseas. A lot of what you do when you disclose military capability in peacetime, you're trying to influence opinion among various audiences. You're basically trying to signal that you are the likely victor should there be a fight. If you can convince those audiences of that, your adversaries should avoid picking a fight with you, and your allies should take heart in your ability to keep your commitments to them.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, the new B-21 looks like the old B-2. So the question is, I know the Air Force is not talking about the upgrades and the improvements, but what do you think the B-21 brings to the fight that the old stealth bomber doesn't?
Well, it sounds kind of silly, but part of it is this: just it's kind of supposed to cost less. We should be able to afford more of them, and the Air Force actually wants at least 100, and potentially even more than that. Whereas the old B-2 was truncated at, I believe, 21 airframes, about 20 airframes after the Cold War. So there's so being able to afford more of something is obviously an advantage in itself. As far as the actual upgrades, it's kind of hard for us non-aviators. Just by looking at it, for one thing, so a lot of what makes a stealth aircraft stealthy is not really visible to the naked eye, such as improved coatings that absorb radar energy, improved shaping that deflects radar energy away from the aircraft, and so forth. So part of it is just not easy to tell. The other part is simply that the Air Force has done what scholars of international relations call selective disclosure. They basically showed that the capability exists. They planted that idea in the minds of the audiences I was talking about without giving away too many details. We don't want to give away classified information that might give our adversaries an advantage and a way to counter that capability in wartime. So there are technical and there's political sides to this net assessment of this new aircraft.
B-21 looks like, and just the other day I watched The War of the Worlds with Gene Barry in 1953, and you know, when they dropped the bomb on the Martians, it didn't work. It was the flying wing, Jim. That's what took off in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. The flying wing has been around for, if you go out on the internet and just Google flying wing, you'll find all sorts of not only bomber type aircraft, but also experimental fighter aircraft from the 1940s and 1950s.
It was really cool to see it because it certainly is a stealthy looking aircraft as it takes off to fight the Martians. But however, we're not fighting the Martians. We're getting into the brains of the PLA Navy, PLA Air Force planners. Jim, the B-21 is part of a mix of weaponry. I noted in the news recently the Navy is looking to extend the life of Arleigh Burke-class destroyers that could have been headed for retirement. I believe it's extending the life of other warships as well. And then there are the new frigates that are being built. Is that all part of the messaging to the PLA Navy that though they have many of them, we have a superior system?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. Part of it's the Navy deciding to do that. Part of it is because Congress has been intervening in the ship building and the ship retirement process, and basically forcing the Navy to keep platforms in the fleet when they might be needed, which is in the next few years, rather than trying to retire them early so that we can recapitalize and build up with newer platforms. The Arleigh Burke class that you mentioned, our guided missile destroyers, are the Arleigh Burke itself was commissioned in 1991. So that says, and they have about a 35-year service life. So like you said, they're nearing the end, but Congress wants those systems out in the fleet. As you said, partly as a messaging to our adversaries that we will have sufficient numbers, even if we don't outnumber them in the future.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Jim, since you're Naval War College, I've got to ask. The Arleigh Burke class is considered to be a success, right?
Yeah, I think so. You'll hear people say it's the most successful destroyer in history.
So the question is now, right now, Jim, what else do we need? The B-21 Raider is a manned aircraft. We have drones on the drawing boards. We certainly have missiles. The tripartite system of nuclear deterrence. But I take it that this is more than that. You talk about targeting. The B-21 is meant to penetrate Chinese air defenses in the early stages of a conflict over Taiwan. Is that the simple message?
I think that's basically it, and that's also the same logic that's going into the Air Force and the Navy are both pursuing next generation what they call NGAD, next generation air dominance fighters, which will be stealthy manned fighters accompanied by drones, essentially what they call loyal wingmen, to try to proliferate capability and add mass, because these are going to be very. These are going to be very expensive fighter aircraft, but the logic is that you can have a few expensive airplanes and then a lot of inexpensive drones, and you can make the cost benefit logic work out that way. But I mean, the larger point is just that we need more of everything. I mean, there was a wonderful report, I think, out of the Mitchell Aerospace Institute not too long ago, talking about something the author called affordable mass. Again, basically the ability to afford a lot of something. Mass is a virtue in its own right. Numbers and capabilities in bulk, and that which is something that we've seen proven time and again, including on the ground in Ukraine, where both sides need more of everything if they want to prevail.
There's a countdown running, Jim. The year 25, the year 26, the year 27, mentioned as a start date for the Chinese aggression against Taiwan. Are we going to be ready in time, Jim? Is it a close thing? We have about a minute.
I think it is going to be a close run thing. To quote Sir Arthur Wellesley after the Battle of Waterloo, absolutely, Lord Wellington. But it feels like in military affairs that's simply how it is. I would close by saying I don't think Xi Jinping has a firm date in mind. I just don't get the sense that there is indeed a fixed date for Chinese aggression. I do think he wants the option to do that in the next few years.
And as of now, do they have an answer to the B-21 Raider when it is in the air?
It hasn't been in the air yet, so I guess the answer is a big question mark there. It's supposed to take its first flight towards the end of this year. They recently powered up the aircraft for the first time, so which is a major milestone. But yeah, I mean, it's an experiment. It's an experiment, and we will put it into field trials and see how it turns out.
Gordon, 15 seconds. Is Beijing watching, or are they involved in purging?
Well, they are involved in purging, but they watch everything. And they are very good at getting plans for our most advanced weapons, which is what most people think it took so long for the F-35, because right. China stole the first plans and it had to be redesigned.
Gordon Chang, Jim Holmes, I'm John Buckley.